Father, I just really thank you for today. Thank you for the word that you've given me to share with everybody. And I just pray in Jesus' name that what you just open people's hearts and open our ears to hear what you're wanting to say to each of us. And we just pray as Elsie and Malcolm prayed that, you know, that your Holy Spirit would be with us and that we would feel this, even though it's been hard. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am going to speak on love today. And I think the most amazing thing about that is that I love God's love. It has been such a strength to me through some very difficult times, and none more so than this pandemic. You know, as we work and come out of this time, you know, at home and reintegrating with family, with friends and work colleagues, there's going to be an adjustment. And for all of the joy upcoming, you know, for opening up and wanting to see people. And I even went and saw colleagues that I haven't seen for 2 years yesterday, and that was a joy. There are going to be those people in our life that may be tough to see. And so, you know, as we move up to Christmas, and as we connect with brothers and sisters at church, you know, the question I've got is that how do we love others? Now, there'll be those that are really easy to love. We'll just be connecting with them. It'll be like, you know, high fives, haven't seen you. Well, maybe not high fives, but, you know, it'll be just a joy to see. And then it might be that there are those that are difficult to love. And it's really, that is what I'm wanting to speak on today. You know, how do we love those that are difficult to love? You know, we might even have trouble even connecting with those that it's a joy to see because we've changed socially over the last 2 years. You know, this pandemic has caused those that would be classed as extroverts to become introverts. And maybe those that are introverts maybe have become more extroverted as well. But, you know, if you were to ask me 2 years ago if it was okay to cough into your hand in a public gathering and stuff, or to even, you know, cough without your hand, I'd probably be like, oh, it's a bit gross, that's a bit weird and stuff. But if you were to go to a public place right now and to cough either into your hand very loudly or with an open mouth, you would have, I would say, some very, very strange looks, even to the point of people revulsion, and even to the point where people might even yell at you. It has changed our perspective. And, you know, some people might think, you know, well, you're just putting people in danger if you do that. How times have changed, even not wearing a mask, wearing a mask, like when to do it. All of these things have changed. Things have changed for me personally. I've found that spending more than 2 hours with people while we're going through this change tires me out so much more than it did previously. And I'm an extrovert as a person. So it's really, the question is, you know, how do we love others as we go through this, as we go through this kind of reintegration? Have you ever had anyone that irks you? Have you ever had anybody that, in a family member or a colleague, or maybe you were bullied at school and there was a bully, they just got under your skin? The way they speak or the way that they behave, it just drives you crazy. Well, how do we love that person? How do I love that person? And then the other question is, have you actually ever hated someone? You know, where it goes way beyond, you know, like that kind of people irking you, that it's an actual difficulty because they've taken something away from you or they've wronged you very deeply. This may be something that happened a long time ago or even recently, and it may have had serious consequences on you or your family. I had one such thing happen. I just wanted to give just a little bit of a story of me when I was younger. I grew up in Bendigo. I grew up in a loving Christian family and knew God and the love of God quite early in my life. And I was bullied at school. I mean, country school in Australia in the 80s, it was quite tough. And I was quite a small little weedy kid, and so I was fairly easy pickings. But we'd turn up to church every weekend and stuff, and I always thought, oh, okay, church is going to be a sanctuary away from life where, you know, I can experience God's love. And yet I was picked on at church, and even what I would class as bullied at church. And there was one boy that was a bit older than me that, you know, was, you know, what I would class as my kind of church bully, if you wanted to have that. And, you know, not making light of it now, it was really, really difficult to go through back then. You know, I had feelings of inadequacy, isolation. It meant that I didn't want to turn up to church. You know, I probably acted out because of my behavior, because I was hurting so much. And, you know, that was a tough time for me, but God brought me through that period, and I went through my teens and, you know, opened me up and everything. And then I've lived a whole lifetime. So take it from about, you know, 10 years old through to me at 35, coming back from the UK, living a whole lifetime. And I turn up to my new place of work, and about 2 months in working there, what should happen, but this same person that bullied me, you know, almost what 25 years prior, turned up into my workplace as a person working there. And I can tell you, it was a shock to the system when I saw them. The one bit that I do remember was the fact that I'd forgotten other people's faces, forgotten other people's names and all this type of stuff. And it was just really, really, it was like lightning struck me. I knew his face. I knew his name, and I knew, and all of the feelings of hurt and anxiety and pain and fear and everything came back. Now, for some of us, when that happens, because of the hurt that that person has done, you know, previously, our reaction can be, you know, well, I should be over this. You know, I'm a Christian. I've lived this life. I should just be able to get over this. You know, God's love's worked through me, and so I should just be able to deal with this. For me, it was an interesting reaction. There was shock, and then there was experiencing the feelings, and then there was a journey that I had to go through to say, how can I actually love this person? And so it's a real hard thing, because I remember thinking, you know, actually, when I see this person at work, even though this happened a long time ago, and I hadn't actually said hello to him or anything yet, but it was funny that it actually still made me feel physically sick. And for some people, you know, it can be really hurtful if someone says to them at that point in time, just a throwaway comment like, you know, oh, God still loves them, even though they're there. And I remember thinking and feeling this, that how do I not hold this against them? And so I went on a bit of a personal journey with that. And I'll touch a bit more on that later, but just wanted to give you an overview that is what we're dealing with. How do we love others, and how do we love difficult people that walk into our lives? So I just wanted to read the passage that I'm going to share on today. And I love this passage. You've probably all heard it before, but it's from the Bible, and it's 1 John chapter 4, and it's verses 7 through to 21. And here it goes. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God has loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. What an amazing passage on love. You know, speaking about how God's love and how it's been given to us and how it drives out fear and how we are able to love others. I want to just talk about three things from that. Number one is the fact that God loved us first. Number two is about it driving out fear and how we partner with God's love to drive out fear, and it's made complete in that. And then number three is how we can actually love others, which is, I think, for me, the most difficult part of all of this. But the beauty of those verses is just to show about this. So I'll just cover off loving us first. You know, God expressed his love through Jesus' death and resurrection so that we can be held blameless without fear and speak to God and have new life through that death of Jesus and in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the other part of God. So there's three parts of God. There is God the Father, Jesus the Son, who came and died and rose again. And then there is the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. And in this way, and in these verses, the bit that I want to talk about is really the Holy Spirit is the expression of God in us. When we pray and to connect to God, it's really using that Spirit that he's left with us. And he gives us life and love. So if you want to talk about it, for me, I've really noticed that when I connect to other people or when I express God's love in action, I actually feel in my heart the Holy Spirit urging me. It's not that I like hear God talking to me directly, like go and see this person and go and love them. It is a feeling that I have. It is a small, still voice. It's something that speaks to me, and I get verses or I get worship songs coming back to me where I go, okay, I know to be obedient to God, I need to do this. And when I do that, that I can actually deal with it. Now, we know that in life, we can have feelings of God, of love. And those feelings can be fleeting. They can come and go. What these verses are saying and what this expression of God's love is not just a feeling. It is an obedience, and it is God's actual sacrifice of Jesus coming and us having faith in that sacrifice and connecting with God through that. Jesus showed us how to love in action. As we read through the Bible, he's praying and spending quiet time with his Father. He's worshiping God. But it's also how Jesus shows us to love family, those that are hard to love. He has dinner with tax collectors. He gets told off by everybody, like, why are you meeting with these people? And he says to them, because they're the ones that God's asked me to love. He's chatting with prostitutes. He's chatting with people who are hated by the Jewish people, the Samaritans. Like in that way, they're turning up and saying, why is he even chatting with them? Like, to let alone love them. You know, he was just upside down in the way that he did it. His disciples, loving them. Peter constantly throughout the whole time, you know, like distrusted, made mistakes right in front of Jesus. And Judas betrayed Jesus. Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed, and he loved these guys like brothers and like adopted family. Difficult people are shown the love of God throughout the Bible. And for me, none more so than Paul. He actively tried to destroy the church and to kill Christians. And God, through his love, transformed him from Saul to Paul. Now, you can read about this in Acts, you know, going from a murderer, a religious fanatic, to those, you know, to a person who God built the church and wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament for. And it's a lot of where we get our church from. Yeah, I don't need to talk to you about the depth and the breadth of God's love to be able to transform. That story is amazing, and I encourage you to read it with fresh eyes to have a look at it, how God's love can transform. Now, if we return to the scripture that I was reading, verse 12 is really where I want to sum this up. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is the transforming work of God. He, you know, we can be transformed through God's love that he first gave through Jesus dying on the cross and giving us the Spirit to live. God expressed his love to others in such amazing ways. When I read these stories and I look at how God's love was able to meet with these people, I ask myself, how do I copy this? And how do I love those that are hard to live in my life? One way that we can do that and that we can be encouraged by God is looking at fear. And these scriptures take us to the point where, you know, it's about driving out fear. So that way of copying, one of the barriers can be fear. Fear of man, fear of, you know, what people would say of me, fear of, you know, anxieties about, you know, about people, about things that are in my life, about the world, about what my tomorrow is going to be. Now, God didn't just send Jesus to take away just our sin, but it was also to give love and for and to be able to drive out fear, you know. And how does God's love actually overcome fear? Well, for me, it's that point about a father to children. I'm a dad now, and I see it all the time. You know, we were watching a movie last night. Millie's there with her covers, and she just gets scared every now and then, and they run away in fear. But our father gives us the ability to be able to run to him at any point. And as we connect with God, he will hold us and be faithful in that. I've been listening to a song during the pandemic. It's called Tomorrow. David, if you want to, you can just pop the lyrics up on the screen. This is the chorus. But I just want to read the bridge and then into the chorus, which is up on the screen. And this song has just been such a wonderful thing for me, and it's connecting that driving out fear from God's love. And it says, fear says I'm on my own. Faith says I'll never be alone. You are faithful, so faithful. Fear says I'm just too late. Faith says you'll always make a way. You are able. So able. Fear says I'm dead and done. Faith says the best is yet to come. You are faithful, so faithful. Fear says impossible. Faith says I'll see a miracle. You are able, so able. And then it's this chorus. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. You are God and you are in control. My soul will not be troubled in the rise and in the fall. I will trust you through it all. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that you hold tomorrow. And that song is really reflecting that God holds our tomorrow. We don't have to be fearful about who has got us. God is bigger than our today. He's bigger than our tomorrow. He can love us all through it all. And I take solace in that, that when I've got a difficult situation or a difficult person to love, that God can be there with me, and he has been faithful through my life, and he'll be faithful with me wanting to love that person or in that situation. Now, this is not easy. For me, it wasn't easy when I re-met my child bully at church at work. It brought up hurt, and it made me go through some of the feelings that I had back then, isolation, inadequacy, all of these. But God's faithfulness through my life and the experience of God's love and the Father's love meant that I had a fresh perspective and I could see him differently. I had empathy that I know that hurt people hurt others, and not judging him and seeing him as the same as me and seeing how God sees me. It was so difficult, but I was able to turn up and go and say hello to him and reconnect to him. Now, we didn't like become best of friends. We didn't go on to, reconnect for a long, long time. But I wanted, it just culminated in being able for me to be able to get over the fear and over the disconnectedness to be able to connect with him. And I was so grateful for that. There was something that changed in my heart, and it actually happened pre-pandemic. And I went through a very similar situation during the pandemic. It's been difficult for me at work. And a lot of the things that I'd learned through going through and loving him in that way meant that I was able to deal with the pandemic in a different way and to be able to see God's grace work in me through working with other people as well. Some hurts from other people, though, can be, difficult, and they need professional help and counselling. Not all love needs to be just with the other person and actively with the other person. I've had excellent professionals and spiritual counselling that's helped me with this. And if you need extra help from God, a miracle, but also professional and medical help to be able to journey to love difficult people or to love the people that you're called to in your life, then the first step today might be reaching out to say, yeah, there's no way that I'll be able to overcome that without extra help. That's what we're here for as a church family. And I know David would love to chat to you about that, to be able to point you in the right direction. I just want to finish by saying, the way that I see God's love and in this, and God gave me a very big picture about this, and it's reflected in the woman in the well and Jesus talking about the spring of life when he gives his life and love. And David, if you just want to bring up the picture of the cascade. And so for me, this has been, something that I've connected with God on. And really the visual here is that God's love that is first given to us is like the first pouring out of that. And then we are entrusted to be the next cascade down. So as he fills us on that first step, then we, in that filling, we are able then to flow out to other people. And that step with us, we have kind of a tank, that cascade step, we have a tank of love. And that love tank that we fill up means that we can actually connect and love others. David, that's cool if you want to check that one off. Thanks, David, for being the PowerPoint extraordinaire that you are. That's great. The thing with this, though, is that our love tank may be maybe broken. It might have some holes in it. And so we may not be able to actually love others. And other people may need a lot more love than we actually have the capacity or the volume in our love tank to give. And so we end up with this love gap. There's a love gap where if we do it in our own strength, we can only love people maybe a small amount, and they need a huge amount of love from us. Now, where do we make up that love gap? And it really comes down, that God, we need God's love to fill us. And so there might be some brokenness that needs to be mended. There might be unforgiveness. There might be hurt. There might be fear and brokenness that we need to deal with so then we can actually partner with God to be able to love others. But there also could be a miraculous way that Jesus just, or God gives us that love through his Holy Spirit when we step out in faith. And really the question today I'd have is, who is God calling you to love? And do you have the love tank to be able to love them? Or is there things that you need to partner with God, or do you just need to step out in faith to say, hey, even though this person's hurt me, I'm going to love them through that. And as you partner and be obedient with God, then he will miraculously come and give you the ability to be able to love them. Now, you know, we can reflect all we want on you know, like what brokenness we do have and everything. But I feel that God's charge to us today is to actually look at those that we have around us and to say, is it going to be difficult? Is there some things that I can do in order to love others more fully and to be more like Jesus? I just want to finish with verse 20, which is, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. God's love takes sacrifice. We have to be able to give up part of our life too in order to love. You know, how do I overcome that love gap? What is God asking me to do? Will it take sacrifice? I believe it will. We love and live through God who gave his son and spirit first. And we know that that love drives out all fear. The truth is that as we become more like Jesus, we will have less fear and more love for others. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your love and for your goodness and kindness. I just pray for our congregation today, then for those that we're connected to. God, I pray for those that are brokenhearted and for those that have had hurt in their lives, that God, you would connect with them and that your Holy Spirit would meet with them today. Father, I also pray as we come out of this pandemic and as we start to connect with other people, that you would go before us and that you would work with us to be able to love those that are difficult. And God, I just pray as we go through this week even and with everything changing, that you would hold our tomorrow and that we wouldn't be afraid to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.